Welcome to the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I'm Lydia Vicar, Director of Vicar Law, where we specialise in succession law, civil disputes and litigation in Queensland. If you want to safeguard your assets, navigate estate planning with confidence, or resolve legal conflicts effectively, you're in the right place. Join me each week as we break down complex legal issues into clear, practical insights, helping you protect your legacy and find solutions with certainty. Let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I am your host, Lydia Vicar, Director of Vicar Law. And this week is so exciting because on Monday I would have launched my QCAT course, Confidently Handle Your QCAT Claim. And it is so exciting that I have, well, firstly, that I found the time to even do it. But I really have bottled up all my secrets, all my tips, all the things that I give to my fee-paying clients that pay a lot of money to come see me. I have bottled that up into a nice little course, and it is currently on an introductory rate. So you can access it in the link in my bio, which I highly recommend you do. You can also access my free letter of demand template. And if you go back to the first week in July, I did a podcast about why a letter of demand is important and, you know, the first steps of what you should do when someone owes you money. So excited and just can't believe that this week has finally come for me. So we are continuing our theme this month, talking about QCAT, talking about getting your money back when someone owes you money. And last week we spoke about the first few steps in QCAT, and this week probably will end up being a bit of a short one, but just want to talk about the final hearing. So after you have lodged your application, you've served it on the other side, and if you've had an unsuccessful mediation, the next thing that happens is that QCAT actually schedules a hearing for you. So that is a hearing that you do in front of a member. When the directions for the hearing come to you, there may be directions about writing additional submissions or providing additional evidence, whatever the tribunal member might want at the time, or if they think that the material that you've provided so far isn't sufficient, they may give you the opportunity to provide more material. And then you do that at the set times, and then you attend the final hearing. The final hearing is usually done in person, but you can apply to do it by way of video link and telephone link. And when someone gets a final hearing notice, the number one thing I hear from people is, I can't do it. I can't get up in front of someone. I just can't do it. But the reality is you can, you will, and you need to know how to prepare. So in QCAT, as I think I've probably said in the past few weeks, you can't have a lawyer represent you. So if you want a lawyer to represent you, you have to apply for leave. And leave is not usually given because that's not the purpose. That's not the design of QCAT. QCAT is really designed for the everyday person. And when you're in a final hearing, the tribunal member knows that you're not a lawyer. They know that you're just an everyday person. And they take that into account in terms of guiding you. But what I have, you know, done in my course is really given you all the materials, all the prep to set yourself up in the best possible way for a final hearing. So what I recommend that people do for a final hearing is that they prepare written submissions. They prepare oral submissions as well, so you know what you're going to say. You also think about and prepare some counter arguments to what you think the respondent might say. And by that point, you should have a fairly good idea because you've listened to the respondent in the mediation, or they may have, if it's a consumer trader dispute, they may have done a counter application or a response. So you may have kind of a good idea about what they're going to say, and you have the counter arguments. You have all your evidence prepared. And if there is another witness, not you, that is going to speak about it, you know, for the hearing, also how to prepare your witness, how to examine and cross-examine a witness. So it is very detailed. But the thing that I want to say to people and really emphasize is that you need to bottle your relevant facts and provide them to the member. Okay. Those are the facts that the member is going to rely upon when they are making a decision. So you need to like bottle it up, present it in a way that they can look at your subs and go, that makes complete sense. I'm going to make an order in favor of the applicant. That's what you need to do. So really about ensuring that you're communicating. And that's where I feel that people really fall down. And I understand this. When you're owed money, it's very emotional. It's very upsetting. I know I'm in a business. I know what it's like for people to owe me money and not get paid for the work that I've done or not get paid for work that is rightfully owed to me. It's very emotional. But a hard truth, I'm sorry, is that the member doesn't care about your emotions. They're here to decide the matter on the facts and on the law that's available to them. And most of the time, the law is very basic. There's an offer. You accept the offer, the work's done, the person gets paid. That's it. That's the agreement that's made, okay? And that's usually what has been breached in most of the cases that, you know, I have helped people with. But it's really about making sure, and I can't emphasize this enough, which is why this will be the eighth time I've said it in the space of 1 minute. You need to get your relevant facts and make them available to the member so that they can use it to make the decision in your favor. You have to guide them. Now, that's even very common in the higher courts. I mean, sometimes we'll always joke if we, you know, are in the Supreme Court and we get a successful judgment and the judgment will be like, oh, wow, this judgment really seems like counsel submissions in here. But that's the point. They need help. Your role is to guide them. Your role is to show them why your way is the right way and so that they can make a decision for you. So when you're in the hearing, please do remember that the member is a judicial officer. You need to be respectful. You need to be respectful for the other side. If the member feels like you're not getting anywhere or there's not enough evidence, they may adjourn and you may need to come back for another hearing. But I would highly recommend that you just prepare yourself. If you're really prepared, there's no way that, you know, should be needed. And then hopefully you get an order in your favor. Now, in terms of a decision may be made on the day. Or it may be later if the member feels like they need to go back and, you know, talk about it. Well, sorry, think about it. They need to think about it further. But what's really important, I'll say it again, is that you're presenting your relevant facts to show the member that your application should be successful. A few frequently asked questions, I guess, about a hearing that I hear from people. What should you wear? You don't have to wear a suit, but you're welcome to. You know, smart casual is a really good idea. What should you do if the other side gives you submissions or an affidavit that you haven't seen before? If that's the case, you tell the member that you haven't seen them, that you need time to consider it. And usually they will give you time because it's prejudicial for you to have received material that you haven't seen before and then be expected to argue, you know, your case about it. So that's an idea. What happens if the other side doesn't show up? Well, they'll try to locate them first and say, hey, you're running late, you know, but it may be that it's awarded in your favor, but you will still be expected to present your evidence as well. So it is daunting. I find it, you know, I've been to court many times, but I still find it really daunting. And when I have to get up and speak in court, I still get nervous about it, but it's a very relaxed, informal environment. It's usually just a room with some tables and some chairs. You're not looking up at anyone. It's not like the TV. Get Suits out of your mind, SVU, all those shows. It's not like TV. It's just a very informal and everyone is aware that you're not a lawyer. That's not your full-time job and that you are just doing the best you can to present your case and get the money back to you. So I hope that's given you a nice overview of a QCAT hearing. As I said, my course launched this week. So if you have a claim and someone owes you money, please do pop in the link in the show notes and get my free letter of demand template. Have a look at the course, see if it's for you. It's very much me talking like this and then providing real case scenarios, sample documents, and everything you really need to go from start to the end for your QCAT application. So thanks again for listening. Next week, I'll be talking about enforcement for QCAT because that's something that is actually super complicated. And when I went to write that module for the course, it started small and it grew and grew and grew because there's actually a lot to it. So I'm going to cover that in next week's episode. But otherwise, thank you so much for tuning in. I really appreciate it. I will speak to you next week. Bye. That's a wrap for this episode of the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I hope you found today's insights helpful in navigating your legal journey. If you're ready to take the next step in securing your legacy or finally dealing with your dispute, you can pop on my website www.vicarlaw.com.au to book a free consultation with me, Lydia Vicar. You can also subscribe to our newsletter or find out more about today's topic. Your future begins now, and we're here to guide you every step of the way. Until next time, I'm Lydia Vicar, signing off.
The Vicar podcast comprises general information and does not serve as a substitute for professional advice. Prior to making any legal decisions, individuals are advised to seek independent professional guidance and assess the suitability of this information for their own individual goals and objectives.